This is an
Get in
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to ENN.
Welcome.
On a Tuesday evening, where we'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Really smack your face dead.
And then I'll also say good evening to Don.
I haven't had a Dorito since 2015.
It's true. It's important what you just said there. I don't know if people appreciate it, but it's important. All right, Don, you ready?
Oh, sure.
So one of the things we talked about early on in this restart was the minutes of Zion Williamson. I mean, it's kind of been, when you think about it, it's been a movie. It started out with, well, the reason that they're doing 22 teams in the first place is just so we could get more Zion Williamson.
There's no question about that, right?
Then we get there, and Zion's playing 15 minutes, and he's on the bench during critical moments of a close game down the stretch.
Because let's face it, and again, nothing against our network. I mean, they did the right thing, but last night we aired Grizzlies Pelicans. Why? Why, Peter? Why do you think we did that? Why do you think that game is available nationally? Not two interesting teams, right? They're not big markets. Have you ever met a Grizzlies fan? Have you ever met a Pelican fan?
Why?
Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is, we all know this. Everyone wants to watch Zion Williamson play.
Okay.
That's right.
And but yesterday, Don, you got Zion and Ja Morant. So you're really getting the two best young players in the league. And yesterday was different, though. Why? Because Zion had his minutes pushed to 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And guess what? They won. Let's hear from Zion Williamson.
That's just my competitive spirit. Not even gonna lie to you. It's different in a bad way on the bench in the fourth quarter, and there's nothing I can do to help my team win. So I say I felt alive. It was just great to be out there doing whatever I can to help my team win. And as for the energy part, me and my teammates, we just feed off each other.
And with that win, the Pelicans are back in the hunt. Memphis off to a rough start, and New Orleans' schedule gets easier. Two games against the Kings, who are not very good. They're at the bottom of the bubble. Lost to Orlando on Sunday and have lost to the Spurs. Spurs lost. So they find themselves just a couple of games out of the playoffs, Don. So maybe if they're now willing to push Zion's minutes up to 25 minutes a game, maybe things get interesting.
Yeah, they almost doubled them, right? Because the first game was 15. Now it's 25. So maybe they are. You know, maybe he's on pace to do that. And I think the league would love that because it's such a star-driven league. And I do believe that getting him in the bubble was important. And I think that's why they went with the number of teams that they did.
I can openly admit that I will be more dialed into the NBA playoffs first round if Zion's playing his first playoff games.
No shot of winning, there's
doesn't
still
matter.
The intrigue of seeing him playing at that level for the first
exactly.
time.
What do great young players do when they're on the most meaningful stage? Yeah. You know?
And you can make the case you've never seen that because we didn't get to see it in college either.
Well, first of all, we saw him in the tournament, though, and he was dazzling. Mm. So we didn't get to see him go all the way.
Right.
But he was must-see TV in the ACC tournament and in March Madness. So to get to see him in a meaningful series, even if they're the 8 seed playing the Lakers, and yes, it will be the Lakers, because as of last night, they have clinched the number one seed in the Western Conference, a 116-108 win over the Jazz. Anthony Davis, 42 points, 12 boards, 4 assists, 3 steals, and LeBron James heaping praise on his new teammate.
It was everything that I dreamed of. You know, I understand and I know the talent level that he possesses out on the floor, both on the interior and out on the perimeter. He's one of those unicorn type players that could do it all. You know, he showed you, you know, late in game with that 4-point play, his ball handling ability and his 3-point shooting ability off the dribble. You know, there's not many guys in our league that could do that at that size. So, you know, he's definitely a special guy.
When you think about it, Don, LeBron having Anthony Davis, and obviously we all knew them getting together would change the league, right? And I think it's not a surprise to anyone that they're the best team in the West. I mean, they're expected to be the best team in the West. But when you hear him talk about him so glowingly, it really does remind you that just the level of player LeBron now has with him. Don, could I argue that Anthony Davis right now is the best player LeBron James has ever played with?
All right, so let's look at the candidates, right?
Sure. I love that. Top five players.
There wasn't really anybody.
Is this a Daily Don? Top five players LeBron's played with?
Well, it's just a conversation.
Okay.
Because we got to check out the landscape here. You wouldn't put anybody at that level his first time around in Cleveland, right?
No.
Right. So now you go to Miami, and it's Wade and Bosch. So Wade is in the conversation. So you put Wade there. Wade would be in the top five.
I'm pulling up stats here of everyone. Go ahead.
Who are you taking out?
Right.
So then you go, anybody else in Miami during his time there that would be in the top five? Would you put Ray Allen was towards the end of his career, right?
He could. I mean, he played a pivotal role, and he's an all-time
He played a pivotal
player.
Role, but I don't know. No. It's not Ray Allen, you know, from early in his career. So I think of all the guys he played with in Miami, would Wade be the only
in the conversation with Davis? Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So that's it in Miami. So now you go back to Cleveland.
Correct.
Now, would you put Love there?
No.
Would you put Kyrie there? Yes.
Kyrie would be the other one.
So Kyrie, Wade, and that's probably it.
That's it.
So
Andrew can text us if we're forgetting anything, but I feel pretty comfortable saying that's the conversation.
And I would think now Wade, it's between Wade and Davis.
I agree with you. As great as Kyrie is, you're talking about in D Wade, a guy who is. What year did they get the ring in Miami again?
That would have been, obviously it was before LeBron got there. Was it 06?
Well,
you would know better than me.
The Lakers and Celtics run was 08, 09, 10.
Right.
So it was before that, correct? Or no, it was the end of that.
And I know 12 was the Thunder playing in the final.
The bottom line is this.
I think it was 06. So it comes down
to
this.
No, it was the rings with LeBron. The first one, Don, was 06 with Shaq. The two with LeBron were in 2012 and 2013 after the Celtics-Lakers run. So if you want to look at Dwayne Wade in 2012 and 2013, you're talking about at that point in the role he was playing, 21 points and 19 points a game, 5 assists a game.
Davis is
in Anthony Davis right now, you're talking about 27 and 9.
Yeah, it's Davis.
This is the best player he's ever played with. I mean, we'll see historically when it's all said and done where he ends up. But right now, to the point LeBron made, to have a guy of this size who shoots the way he does and is just that dominant. Like, this is a guy who LeBron, you know, really down the stretch of a game. You know, one of the criticisms, and I know I've gotten yelled at about this before, and there are people who disagree. There are times when LeBron takes over down the stretch, and there are times when it doesn't appear that LeBron is the guy who's always trying to get that shot. I think that LeBron, one of the things that makes him great, and it's not a negative, is that LeBron has a lot more magic in him than Michael. Everyone wants to force Michael onto LeBron when, frankly, I see a lot of magic in LeBron and that he is the guy who's happy to set someone else up down the stretch. And in Davis, my God, man, who knows what they're like in the playoffs?
The only reason you talk about LeBron and MJ is because they're arguably the two greatest players that ever played. They're completely different players. They're not comparable. Right? Because they're just different, but because they're both great, they're one and two in the conversation in the history of the sport, they're comparable. But you're right, Magic's the better comparable.
It's like, yeah, I mean, LeBron is sort of like Magic if Magic also had the option of, when he felt like it, just taking it to the rack and funking on someone. That's basically, because there's really the similarities to Jordan. I mean, yes, Jordan, of course, could go to the basket, though he did in different ways than LeBron does. But, I mean, with Michael, it was all so much. The second half of his career was all about jump shooting. LeBron could shoot. We know LeBron at this stage in his career can knock down threes. He can shoot the ball. But LeBron is all about setting people up and taking it to the hole. Mm. And think about the options that will exist on this team if they're both 100% in the playoffs. It could be a lot of fun.
It could be. Could be a lot of fun.
Will you be dialed in? What intrigues you the most? What is out there for the NBA that could get a Don LaGreca, a very casual NBA fan, to be most interested in the NBA bubble playoffs?
Well, I got to tell you, and I said this, that the way the NBA's handled things and the way baseball has handled things always had me more interested in the NBA. I feel like I'm rooting for the NBA more than baseball because of the way everything was handled. So that intrigues me. And I believe it's more wide open than it's been in a while. Like, maybe the Clippers can challenge. And then certainly, I think Milwaukee can challenge LA. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. I think
because 100%.
Because of the bubble, I think that kind of changes the perspective. Maybe Boston has more of a chance now than they would have in normal circumstances. So I think things are not quite as wide open as the NHL, but I think a little bit more open than it's been over the last pretty much decade in the NBA. It was like a fait accompli. It was going to be Cleveland versus Golden State, and you just kind of knew.
Well, and with the exception of the injury year when Cleveland ended up beating Golden State, which, let's be honest, it's an incredible feat, but I think we all kind of feel it has a bit of an asterisk.
Sure.
With the Draymond suspension,
Draymond Green,
et cetera. It was almost, not only was it a foregone conclusion you were going to get Golden State in the Cleveland, it was a foregone conclusion Golden State was going to win. In the possibility of a Lakers or Clippers, but let's say a Lakers-Bucks final, Don, I believe, and you can at me if you like, Rosenberg Radio, because I'm an idiot. I could be getting this wrong. But in my view, Lakers-Bucks final this year is the sexiest potential matchup since Lakers-Celtics 10 years ago. I think it is a dead, sexy, gorgeous matchup.
And it's nice that it's Milwaukee. Because when was the last time we were saying that?
By the way, and how hard is the NBA going to go on focusing on Kareem Abdul-Jabbar if this series happens?
Yeah, right. That's going to be.
He's already this brilliant writer and outspoken voice for our country.
He should be presenting the trophy at the end of the final.
Oh, 100%. It's the Jabbar series if it happens. You're right. I'm not ruling out everyone else in the East, and I'm not ruling out. Listen, who knows? Maybe Houston gets it together. We always seem to be saying that.
But it's interesting, and right, I'll be honest with you, and you know how I feel about baseball. Baseball's third right now amongst what's happened. I mean, I'm all engaged in the hockey. I mean, it's really drawn me in. You know how much I care about hockey, so that's an easy thing. But I think the games have just been enthralling, and I think the NBA's been terrific. And not that baseball's done anything wrong in the games, but... And it's not their fault, but optically, the cutouts are nice, but it doesn't look particularly great. I mean, the games have been fun, but I think what the NBA and the NHL done aesthetically has been terrific in the way that it's looked and how creative that they've been.
And
it's really been good.
And baseball has not gotten a lot of breaks, let's be honest. I mean, if you want to look at any breaks. I mean, maybe it's a break that Aaron Judge is just playing out of his mind. I mean, that could be, if it continues on for a full season, great news for baseball. But
yeah, but the Yankees being great's not out of the ordinary. You know, it's kind of normal. We've seen Judge rake before, so it's not like this.
But Don, since his rookie year, you know, his name has been giant, but he hasn't had the year, the follow-up year that Major League Baseball needs from Aaron Judge.
Yeah, but I will tell you this. When Judge has been healthy, he's been Judge. The question has been, can he stay healthy?
And ironically, during a pandemic, when no one's healthy,
yeah,
he is healthy.
But and maybe would I feel differently, Peter, if the Mets were 8-1 and they were doing what the Yankees were doing? Of course, probably. But overall, I just think that I think hockey and basketball, the games obviously mean a lot more because they're in the bubble. And even though these eight games haven't been great in the NBA, you know what's coming. And getting these qualifying games, because I'll give you an example. The qualifying games have been compelling. The round robin with the seeds in the NHL, it's been tough to watch because they don't mean anything. They're basically glorified exhibition games. They got to play. You can't make them sit for a month and wait for all these other teams to figure it out. So they're playing for seeding. What good seeding in hockey, Peter, if you're not going to get home ice advantage anyway?
Exactly. That's,
you know,
the part.
So when the Flyers are playing the Bruins, it's like, you know, what was the one? It was the Lightning were playing the Capitals yesterday, and I tuned in because it's Ovechkin, but the game didn't mean as much to me. I'm watching Toronto and Columbus because it's a best of five series, game two, and it's the actual playoffs. And that's kind of the way it feels like with the eight games being played in the NBA. Like, I got drawn into Houston-Milwaukee on Sunday because the game was so great, but the fact that who won and lost didn't really matter. You know those teams are going to the playoffs.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
And baseball keeps taking L's. Here's another one. Shohei Ohtani shut down as a pitcher for several weeks. They're saying he has a grade 1 to 2 strain of the flexor pronator mass near his surgically repaired right elbow. Usually, the condition might take 4 to 6 weeks before one could begin throwing again. He's day-to-day as a DH, but he is out again as a pitcher.
You want a hot take?
A hot take?
Yeah.
Oh, no. You're not going to do it, are you? You really going to do this?
Well, my hot take?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think I know what it's going to be.
You tell me what you think it's going to be.
I thought it was going to be that the Ohtani thing's not, it's not happening.
Well, I that's a fait accompli. It's not going to. It's not happening. That's not even a hot take. That's a take. That's a statement. Okay. If I saw someone like Ohtani, who was a terrific pitcher and a terrific hitter, I would tell him, just hit, give up the pitching.
Hot take.
Because it's not good. You're not doing both. It doesn't work. Because what it's Tommy John surgery, right? The two injuries he's had have been related to his pitching. Now it's taking his hitting away, and now he's nothing. You have more of a chance getting hurt as a pitcher than a hitter. Hit. We might be getting robbed of really a true talent offensively because of this whole, well, he can do both. Well, you can't do both because pitchers get hurt too much. Do yourself a favor. Quit pitching. Now, that might be a financial decision you're not willing to make if you're that good of a pitcher. But if everything's equal, Peter, hit. It's safer.
It is safer. It's more work, but it's not as strenuous. Although in his case, he's a DH. It's a tremendous job. I mean, apparently,
yeah, but
too
you
much
don't have to worry about, oh, he's got Tommy John surgery, or he's going to have to miss a start because of this or because of that. They go down like flies. It's ridiculous. And now, right, the two times he's been hurt is because of his pitching. Pick one.
At least pick one, all right? Maybe don't force them to one or the other, but just say, you know what, the whole idea of you doing both great, not going to happen.
Same thing with Ruth. Ruth was a terrific pitcher. We might have gotten robbed of the greatest offensive talent in the history of baseball if he tried to do both or chose pitching.
I mean, Babe Ruth. And Don, can you imagine how effective he would be if not only was he not pitching, but also wasn't eating six hot dogs before a game?
Six!
And did I say before a game? I meant during a game.
Escaping between a, you know, during an at bat. He might have had a hot dog on his person. Like, when you see the highlights of him hitting a home run and that awkward kind of like trot because the speed isn't like normal with the old footage, he may have a hot dog on his person.
Hey,
the way Hollywood Henderson had Coke on him, Ruth had a hot dog on him.
You see? I was with a lady last night. She said, I bet you can't eat six hot dogs. I said, I'll show you, dame. I don't know why he said that, but...
Because that's what he probably said at the time.
It is.
It was a term of endearment back then.
Also, back to the NBA for a moment.
Sure.
We mentioned the Bucks.
Why not?
Today, the Bucks lost, Don. You know to who?
To the Nets.
And
the
people
on-fire Nets.
The on-fire Nets, two in a row, and also, reportedly, the biggest upset against the spread since 1993. They were 19-point dogs today, Don.
Oh, my. And it went outright?
19-point dogs. And
what was the game in 93, did they say?
I don't know the game.
Because who was great in 93? Obviously, the Bulls.
Knicks.
So could the Bulls have lost to somebody? Knicks were good, but you're talking about...
It was the Mavs
and Supersonics. There was a Mav team in the early 90s that won like six games. Like, was that the year that the Mavs were like awful and the Supersonics were good?
Was 93 the Sonics Bulls? So the Sonics were Sean Kemp, Gary Payton, out of control.
No, was that 93 or 96?
I think it was 93. Who knows? I'm old. But either way, that era, they were still great. I mean, they were a consistent powerhouse.
That's going to bother me now. 93. Because it was the Lakers in 91.
Correct.
Was the first one. Portland in 92.
Yeah. Sonics in 93. Oh, no. 93 was Suns.
No, the 93 was the Suns. So
yeah,
that was 96. But the Sonics were still good. So Sonics home against the Mavericks. Check that out, Anthony. I think there was a year where the Mavericks won 10 games.
It's still Sean Kemp, Gary Payton, Nate McMillan, Sam Perkins.
I miss the Sonics.
I know. Me too.
And maybe they'll get a team back, right? Because they're building that new arena for the Kraken.
And by the way, in 93, Don, you mentioned this. The Mavs went 11-71.
Right.
Did that lead to them drafting Jason Kidd? Who knows? Let me not overstep my
bounds. Well, no. Kidd, yeah, right?
This was a repugnant team. And it's actually...
You got it up there?
Isn't it kind of sad when you think about it, though? That the Nets, that's how depleted the Nets roster is? That they were a bigger dog? They're a playoff team. And they were a bigger dog than the Mavericks were up against a good Sonics team in 93.
You just have to look and see how good was that Sonic team.
In 93-94, they were 63-19, Don. Talk about eating hot dogs. George Karl was pounding hot dogs at halftime, all right?
By the way, Jamal Crawford got hurt in that game, so it keeps getting worse for the Nets. But you might as well root for them. They're in, right? I mean, I'm pretty much... Are they officially in yet? Because I thought you said after they beat Washington, like, they were pretty much...
basically in.
So now you've won again after that. I don't know if Washington's going to win a game.
They're horrible. I mean, listen, they're in. The Nets are going
but,
to.
But the again, the same thing. But we got to be careful. If they haven't been officially put in yet, now hopefully Anthony can look that up or Andrew can.
Nope, they do not have a thing next to their.
Okay, right.
There's
so
no X.
I'm sure what they pulled like that. Now when you play the Lakers, have clinched the one seed, right? So anybody playing the Lakers, you might not even play LeBron James the rest of the way. Who knows what kind of roster the Lakers are going to have? So you can't rule out. Like, could Washington win games because of teams that aren't going to care either? Because come on, then in a game that meant something, there's no way the Nets beat the Bucks. You just saw the history of it. You got to go back 27 years the last time a team pulled that off. And something must be up in Seattle that day. There must have been like a something.
It should be noted that you might be upset if you decided to bet the Bucks today. Giannis and Middleton played 16 minutes today.
Well, yeah,
it was obvious. It was a backup laden game.
And I think that you're going to start to see the lines pick up on that now. Like Vegas is going to pick up on that. That these teams that are playing for seeding don't care. Against teams like the Nets, that even though it's probably better for them not to make it, tell that to the guys that are on the court who are killing themselves for every bucket, for a coach that's auditioning for a job. That could be all the difference.
You know what we need right now, Don?
There's a lot I can think of.
I know what you need the most. Tiger Watch.
Tiger Watch.
So, Tiger, how did you play today?
Well, got off to kind of a slow start.
Do you feel like you're back to win at this level?
Yeah, I do, because I just did it.
You ready for PGA Championship time?
No.
Oh, sure you are.
And that's not something that's going to make it on my TV.
Here's Tiger talking about only playing four rounds leading into the PGA.
Competitively, I haven't played that much, but I am the results that I've seen at home, very enthusiastic about some of the changes I've made, and so that's been positive. Keep building, keep getting ready, and be ready come Thursday.
That's awesome, dude! That's right. He's ready for the rainy conditions in the Bay, Don. It's time, baby.
See, maybe if it was Sawgrass, you might get me, because I love Sawgrass on PGA for Sega.
Oh, you just enjoyed the course. You're a fan of the course more than anything.
Because what was that, 3-par 17, that little island?
Oh, sure, yeah.
That could make all the difference in you getting a great score. Because a hole-in-one was a possibility.
Changes everything, Don. Now, question for you. Will you potentially be curious about the Masters because of how odd it will be in November?
Not in the slightest. Again, Masters played in my backyard. I'm drawing the shades. I mean, you could not even come up with a zero. Doesn't even do it justice.
Can't wait. I will watch every
golf. Matt Stafford was taken off of the COVID IR list and moved back to the active roster. What happened was during his pre-entry period for reporting, he took two negative tests, then got a false positive. Then followed up the false positive with three negative tests.
Okay.
So, he does not have COVID-19, didn't have it, and now he is on board.
So, think about that, Peter. False positive. So, that happens, right?
Sure it does.
And the average person that gets tested is waiting online in their car, getting the test, getting a positive, and quarantining for 14 days. And then basically told you're okay and go back to life without getting another test again. So think of what a false positive would do to the average person. Now, certainly not getting three consecutive tests to turn up negative.
Oh, no, you just think you have it.
You just think you have it, and you're going to be sent home for 14 days and probably locked in some room away from the rest of your family. Life pretty much destroyed, you know, for that period of time. And that would be scary.
Well, we got a break here, Don, but I've been told Robinson Cano to the IL for the Mets. So, in the words of Joe Girardi, it's not what you want. And that'll do it for ENN on this Tuesday evening.
Grade 2 left abductor strain. Whatever that
is. My abductor.
So, I mean, talk about beating a dead horse. Bad news for the Mets.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.